Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We have spoken with him before. We're going to call him D. He is an IDF reservist, and we wanted to catch up with him, hear how it is going for him and his thoughts on the current escalation. D, a very good morning. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, Howard. I'm good, thanks.
Good. What do you think of this entrepreneurial Jordanians?
I think that's very entrepreneurial. Looking for an opportunity to make a few bucks on some rubbish that fell in their backyard.
Right, exactly. Well, let's just talk about that. The fact that Israel is carrying out these eliminations, the latest one being yesterday, where a senior or a Hezbollah commander had been taken out, has this now become the accepted norm of operations within this field and space?
Well, yeah, in the scope of things, these kind of operations have been taking place since the 8th of October, when the Hezbollah on their side started shooting rockets at us as a gesture to their Gaza allies, another proxy of the Iranian regime.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not any particular escalation. Maybe it's an escalation in terms of the higher value of the targets. But same like the targeted individuals in Syria, they were in a building next to the Syrian consulate. Mm, those were also those were key figures in coordinating attacks against Israel. Hezbollah and Hamas are known to be proxies of the Iranian regime. So in terms of the tit-for-tat, this tit-for-tat has been going on for decades. And in terms of the latest conflicts, has been going on almost daily since the 7th of October.
What's fascinating to me, or in fact somebody asked me this on social media yesterday, and they asked it of course in a very negative way. They're not a lover of Israel. They said, well, if Israel can do this, can take out senior commanders of Hezbollah, why can't it do the same in Gaza? The point they were making is, why does Israel have to kill women and children? Forget that side of it. But the question is a valid one, is and of course we have seen assassinations like this, or eliminations in Gaza, but not to the extent that we're seeing it with Hezbollah. What do you think the reason for that would be?
Look, the primary reason why the higher value targets aren't being targeted in Gaza is because they are wrapping themselves with Israeli hostages as human shields, together with Palestinian Gaza citizens as human shields. So to avoid primarily killing our own hostages who are being held as human shields, that's the main reason why we're not targeting them, most likely not targeting them in Gaza. As you will witness that every now and then we do manage to take out some high individual targets, like Ismail Haniyeh's three sons, and some of his grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
That was an opportunity that presented itself, and the command took the initiative and took them out.
Is there the sense that, and obviously you don't represent the IDF, you don't represent a significant group, but you're involved in this. I wondered what the discussion and what the feeling is on the ground in terms of soldiers, in terms of reservists, with regard to a potential escalation with Iran. Are the men and women of the IDF battle weary, or is there still that resolve that whatever needs to get done, even if it means an escalation with Iran that is potentially very dangerous?
So, well, I can only speak for myself and other like-minded people. Most people do believe that it is inevitable. The conflict with the North and Iran as a whole, that is something that has always been foreseen as a threat. There's obviously the Iranian nuclear ambitions, which is a serious threat, and the fact that some of those rockets did make it through to Israel would indicate the risk of, should they have a nuclear bomb, it only takes one to come through. So, I mean, they shot over 300 projectiles at us. If they decided to shoot 3,000 and one nuclear bomb and that came through, that would be the end of Israel. So we take these threats very seriously, and I'm sure that the government and the brass is trying to do what they can to prevent that from happening.
The other question, of course, is if it is nuclear, if they are armed, would we have the same, would we see the same assistance from, you know, that we just spoke about the Jordanians shooting down missiles over Jordan that had potentially could cause a nuclear fallout? It would be a very, very different scenario, wouldn't it?
Yeah, no, definitely we wouldn't have the assistance, which begs the question that if we do experience another attack, will they be as prepared and have as much notice as they did get from the Iranian regime before those projectiles were shot? So there was a lot of coordination and a lot of pre-prep work done, I'm sure, by the brass to make sure that those projectiles didn't hit their targets.
Has there a lot of the reservists, are they still active? Are they being called up still, or has there been a reduction in those numbers?
Well, definitely there's been reductions, but also keep in mind that they are reservists. They do have jobs at home, businesses to operate. So you can't keep them in the reserves indefinitely and expect them to just keep operating at the highest quality because, you know, people do need to rest. They need to relax. So what I've witnessed as a soldier in the reserves is I was 150 days on the northern border and they've done a rotation. They've sent most of us home, but slowly they are calling back other units. Also, the work in Gaza has almost reached its objective, so that's also allowed the IDF to release a lot of the soldiers. You don't need to just keep them enlisted just for the sake of it, especially, like I said, they've got jobs and works and families at home to take care of.
Are you comfortable telling us which division you're in?
I'm in a northern unit. It's affiliated with the Golani Brigade.
Right.
So our job is to secure the northern border against any intrusions from Lebanon and also, if on an attack campaign, we'd have to go in and conquer parts of Lebanon. That's basically what our job is.
Well, we just pray that you stay safe and that you continue to assist in keeping Israel and, of course, the entire world, because this, as we have said many, many times, is not just a war against Israel and Jews. It is a global conflict. And the men and women on, quite literally, on the borders are doing the world a service. So, Dee, as we are calling you, IDF reservists, stay safe, and I hope that you are able to have a Pesach with your family.